accession number 31395, Reel 6.
Stand holder. Reel 6.
Yeah. There's an interesting, towards the end of the war, my bombing leader said to me, I had done 28 ops. He said, right, you can do one more, 29. And he said, then I'm going to post you tour expired. He said, I want to do some more. So I said, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, actually, it was quite funny because although I'd done 28, I should have done 30 because there were two hiccups. Now, the first one was the famous or infamous raid on Dresden. Now, we were on that, and we got in the aircraft, and we were taxiing out. And just as we were coming out of dispersal, somehow Jack, our pilot, got our starboard wing off the tarmac, and we got bogged down in soft ground. Now, that was most unlike him. And I always wondered whether he'd had a premonition or something, something was going to happen. I never dare ask him. So that was a scrub. And then a few nights later, we were briefed to go to Chemnitz, another night raid. And our rear gunner said he wasn't getting any oxygen through, so we had to go in the spare kite, and by which time it was too late, so we... If I'd got those in, I would have done 30. But I often wonder whether it was an accident he got off the tarmac or what. I don't know. I didn't ask him.
You mentioned that he blotted his copybook a couple of times. What was that over?
That was it. He was blamed for both those. They said it was... Well, the first one probably was his fault. But the second one wasn't, there's no way you could take off if you're a rear gun, it's not an option. No, yeah, just happened, But one of the interesting ones was towards the end of the war, we bombed Heligoland, the island which controlled the seaway. I think there were nearly 1,000 aircraft on there. And according to the records, we left it looking like a lunar landscape. You can imagine, 1,000 aircraft bombing an island. Good God. And I had £11,000 and two 500s. I had £12,000 bomb. Yes. Oh, and on one raid, I had an 8,000 pounder. Basically, we went to a place called Gelsenkirchen. 8,500. That's 12,000 pounds of bomb. I think that broke a few windows. Yeah.
With some of the bombs, obviously the fuse. Were some of the bombs that you carried, would they be delayed action?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We were on our briefing. My briefing notes, I was told, given, details of which had delayed actions and which were, instantaneous. Yeah. Yeah.
And with delayed action, what kind of period of time would you be looking at with it?
Well, I don't know, though. We weren't told that. We were just told they were delayed action. No, we weren't told.
A couple of things about obviously being in the aircraft. Did any of the crew have any superstitions or lucky mascots or that type of thing?
Well, as far as I was concerned, my officer's peaked cap was my mascot. Because on the Lancaster, where the navigator and the well-stoppers, there's a roof, and then there's a gap, and then there's the perspex cover. And that's where my cap always went. Now, I know some of them also had mascots, but I can't remember what they were. But that's where it goes. It must have got cooked and baked and frozen and God knows what. And then after the war, I left it in the mess one day and somebody nicked it.
And food and drink. What did you have available with you? You mentioned earlier that you could take sweets and things, but yeah, did you have food for a flight?
Not really. No. Just sweets.
Mm. And what about the facilities? What was available to you?
There was a Nelson, which was down at the a chemical toilet, which was back of the aircraft near the rear gunner. I never used it. I very rarely had to. You know, as I say, there was always the window shooting emergency. Whether the others ever used it, I don't know. No.
Would people tend to actually go to the toilet before they went on a raid?
Oh, yeah.
Would that be a common thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Twice. Just in case. Oh, yeah. There's always a queue for the loo. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Anyhow, that, you know, I finished up with doing two food drops on Holland, one on Rotterdam and one on The Hague.
And with landing the aircraft, though, before we go on to the food drops, yes. Would you stand behind the pilot for landing as well?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. 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 Definitely.
Were there any occasions when the aircraft had any... You mentioned, obviously, the two abortive missions, where they were aborted at the start. Was there any... did the aircraft ever have any problems with the engines? Or
yeah, we had one. I've got a... I can't think where it was now. Oh, it was towards the end of the war. We were supposed to be going to Bremen, daylight. And one of the engines started smoking and on fire, so we dropped our load in the wash and came home. Yeah.
Was the Lancaster pretty reliable like that?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's a great aircraft. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant.
Now, these food drops, how were they organised and how did you drop the food?
Well... the food was stowed in, they draped like canvas across the bomb bay, and loaded the food in that. And when you press the bomb release gear, one side of the canvas released and fell, and they just tumbled out.
And what heights were you dropping the food from?
Very, very low. I can't remember what it was, about 100 feet or something like that, really low. We were supposed to be guaranteed free passage. You know, the Germans said, you know, we could do it. We didn't trust them. And there was a rumour that some of the Germans had got on the roof of a barn and were firing rifles, so the Dutch set fire to the barn. Now, whether that's true or punk's watch, I don't know. But you could see all the Dutch people. And they never forget you. They never forget you. It was a few years back now, about 5 or 6 years, I was collecting for Battle of Britain Week, and a lady came up to me and put a £20 note in my tin. Well, thank you very much. No, she said, thank you for helping my parents who were starving in Holland, and you saved their lives.
So when you dropped it to them, was there a specific target? Say target where you were sent to go to drop that food?
It's usually open area, and just marked with a cross or something, not on the outskirts of the town. Yeah, I was just going low and press the button and watch it all fall. We had one that hung up, so we had to go around again, and my Welsh operator was standing in the Astrodome. He swore blind. He was waving up at a lighthouse keeper. I think he's... No, they were absolutely brilliant. They really were brilliant. Yeah.
So, how did you feel when the war came to an end?
Well, relieved, you know. So, blimey, we made it. The question is, what do we do now? Because they don't want bombing us. So, you know, they said to me, you know, what do you want to be? I said, I don't know, I think I'll go into intelligence. Because I thought, well, you know, intelligence and be on the airfield. So they said, okay. So I think I went on a course somewhere in London, you know, and then posted a place called Swinderby, I think it was, yeah. Did nothing very much there, apart from making daily announcements over the tannoy as to who was playing at the football matches. And then, I should go back a bit then, that while at the end of the war, while they were sorting out what to do with me, I was posted up to a place called Burn, which is just outside Selby in Yorkshire. And that was quite a nice little place, especially the fact that it was market day on Monday and then the pubs were open all day. So I'd piled up with another bombayman there, and we sorted out the place and found a pub we wanted to go in, found a dance hall, went to the dance, see what the local girls were like. And I thought, oh, there's a nice blonde, you know, got door dancing to it, yeah. And of course, in those days, that's the only place you could meet girls. Nice girls didn't go in pubs by themselves, you think. Anyhow, I said, what's your name? She said, Delia. I got quite pale. I said, can I see you again? And we got on smashingly. And apparently she was PA to the manager who ran the British Sugar Corporation plant in Selby. She was, you know, typist, so. And we got on famously, and, you know. And eventually we got married. But that was a bit later. Anyhow, as I say, I was now a flying officer, because you got automatic promotion. And I was posted to Northolt on what they call security control. It was like passport, yeah. And we did 24 on and 48 off. And my parents lived in Harrow, near Harrow, Kenton. So I didn't even have to live in the mess. I could go home, you see. And it was a bobby shop. It really was. I know I'd had a phone call from Air Ministry one day saying, on no account is the King of the Hellenes to leave the country. I thought, how the hell is a flying officer going to tell the king? Anyway, he didn't turn up. Oh, and then the football team, the Moscow Dynamos, came over to play a friendly with Chelsea. And when we had a bit of a hiccup there with trying to sort out the names as they came back. It was a good job. And we decided that we're going to get married in April the following year, 1946, in Selby Abbey, you know, big do. And then in December, I was told I was going to be transferred to Germany on counterintelligence. I thought, what the hell, that? I don't speak German. Anyhow, so I rang Dean and said, hey, you know, why don't get married now? And I can go on married man's allowance, you see. So it was all arranged in a week, special license, and we got married on Christmas Eve. And the honeymoon was Christmas Day, and then I had to go back to work. Anyhow, off I went to Germany, Buckelberg, I think it was, and they decided, you know, as I didn't speak German, I was useful on camp, so you're on now disarmament control. And all I did was stick pins in maps. Oh, God, I don't know. Anyhow, my time had come to my automatic promotion to flight lieutenant. So that was done. And then an opening appeared at Bad Eilsen, which was the air headquarters ops. Now that had been a Luftwaffe headquarters, it was good. Big hotels, lovely duvets, hard living allowance. And all I had to do was look after a library of captured German documents. I had, you know, sergeant interpreters, and I had transport and a pass to go absolutely anywhere in Germany. So I didn't know what I was doing, but I just looked busy, you know. And there was nothing much to do. But, and then I found out there was a theatre club there. So I went and watched them, you know, and I volunteered to be prompter. And there was two officers there, Donald McQuinney and Robin Wade, and they actually wrote sketches, you know, things like that. And in fact, Donald McQuinney ended up in the West End after the war as a producer. Anyhow, they started doing, you know, proper plays. And they played on Flare Path. I don't know if you remember Flare Path. And they said, well, why don't you come in, you know? I said, oh, yeah, well, I don't know. I end up as Dusty Miller, the gunner. And I had to borrow my, it was a sergeant, I had to borrow my sergeant's uniform. And you know, that was the one and only, that was the only time I really appeared on the stage. It was really good fun. But it was interesting that in the next office to me was the chief interpreter of there. God knows how many languages he spoke, you know. I think he was the Russian-born Jew, and I can't even remember his name. But I know he said to me one day, he said, I do fancy a trip to Berlin. Well, why not? He said, well, you know, you've got a part. I mean, yeah. He said, I'll organise it. So off we went, yeah. And we came to the frontier, the Russian frontier, and this Russian sentry was there, and he said something to in Russian. And he got a right mouthful back then. Up in the Berlin. We ended in Berlin.
What was Berlin like at that time?
Oh, shattered ruins. But the chap who was running the theatre club had asked me, he knew I was going there, he said, would I go to an address there and pick up some wigs, you know? And it turned out to be in the Russian sect. Anyhow, I got them. Whether that bloke ever got them back or not, I don't know. But it was very interesting. And I'd taken some fags with me and given them to the interpreter and came back and had some Lionel stockings for him, where you are. And then August 46, I was demobbed, came home.
Can you just ask about that? When you were looking after the Library of Captured German Documents, what were they really to do with? Was it Luftwaffe documents?
Yeah, mainly. Oh, an interesting thing. We used to liaise with the army, and we had a message through one day. They had a lot of photographs of war damage to Krupps. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So I sent for them and got them. And then I had a brainwave. I thought, ooh, I'm sure Air Ministry would like to see these. So I booked myself a flight on the Dakota. Came over to England. I think it was probably on a Friday. Ditched the, handed over the documents, and went home to Kenton, where my wife was living with my parents, and she just washed her hair, so I got a very damp mess. Well, so I had a crafty 48 hours before. Yeah, no, it was good. But I may say, Bad Alsen, it really was high level. There were two officers' messes, I think, wing commanders and above, and squadron leaders and below. No, it was good. And that was...
And what do you do about your demobilisation? What happened there?
Well, I think I went to a place called Hensford, which is Staffordshire. I think we were, given a civvy suit and things like that. and sent home. And I know we were allowed to wear our uniforms afterwards for just a specific time. And I do remember on the last day I was allowed to wear it, was a Sunday. So I said to Dee, come on, let's go and have a lunch. I'll put my uniform on and want another posh lunch. Yeah, no, it's looking back, I had a good war. I was really lucky, because once when I was actually operational, I was on leave, and the squadron operated, and for the only time they were bounced by the fighters, and we lost 3 aircraft in one day. Could have been me.
And how do you feel now about having served with Bomber Command?
I'm very proud of it. Very, very proud of it, but disgusted at the way we were treated afterwards. I think it was absolutely disgraceful. We were asked to do a job, we did it, and then we were criticised from high heaven because we did it. Shocking. Yeah. Anyhow, that was my war.